A couple weeks ago, I was at my best friend Bobby's house, and he has an 8-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter. And so, you know, he calls me Pete because he's been my best friend for 25 years, so that's what he calls me. So his kids generally just call me the same thing. And so I was leaving one day, and his little daughter, his 4-year-old daughter, said to me, she said, "Pete, I want you to stay here forever." And so I was really, of course, touched by that. I was like, well, where would I sleep? And she assured me that I had a place on the couch anytime that I wanted it. And I think in moments like that, in days today where we remember the killing of innocent children, the innocence of children, the purity that's in their heart, the purity that Jesus talks about in children is the way our hearts should be as adults. Of course, for a variety of reasons, that's difficult. Abuse, jadedness in our lives, the difficulty that we experience with other human beings in our life, we start to lose some of that innocence and that childlike sense about us. But we can kind of always have examples. Those of you that have grandchildren and children that are examples of this all the time are reminders, and of course the scripture is a reminder of what our minds should be like, what the purity of our heart should be like that. Like my friend's daughter, who would just want me to be around because she sees me as a good presence in their house. And of course, to be wanted like that is also, it lifts up your own heart with a lot of joy. And for those of you who have read, I know some of you probably have read the Brant Petrie book, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of Mary. You might remember today when we hear in the gospel about Rachel crying out, you know, lamenting after the deaths of her children, that Rachel was actually a type for Mary's coming. You know, Rachel for the Jewish people was a very Marian character within them. So that was already kind of in place in Judaism, this idea of a devotion towards a mother, you know, a mother like Mary, who was Rachel for them. And so that's why her response is one of this great lament when Herod orders the killing of all of these children. And of course, the killing of the children, the holy innocents back then in Bethlehem, is like a type for abortion in our own day. You know, it's really the gravest moral evil that I can truly think of. Of course, there are other things that would be equal to it, but because of the widespread nature and how many children have been killed, that's why it's such a great, grave, and terrible and moral evil. And the fact that the devil uses it in a way, it's hidden from our eyes to some extent. He's kind of created this great veil and this mask over a lot of people in a great cloud of ignorance that they don't really understand. But along with that, even with the gravity and the difficulty of the sin, we can never, or I should say this, we should never separate that also from God's mercy with those who commit the sin of abortion, because often, very often, there's a great deal of ignorance, coercion, fear. Remember, it's even the fear and the selfishness of Herod that drives him to kill these children in the first place. And so there's often a big cloud and veil over people when they commit that sin. But one of the things we have to constantly be reminded of is, you know, Saint Faustina described it like this. She used words like the abyss of God's mercy, the unfathomable and inscrutable mercy of God for those who are willing to trust in his mercy, that they'll be shown his infinite mercy, this amazing amount of mercy. So we have to entrust those people, and those who've had to experience the difficulty of abortion, we need to continue to commend them to God's mercy. And I really pondered about this a little bit, and I thought about it, and perhaps this is just a perspective that might help. In our own life of sin and our own difficulty, sometimes we see somebody who commits a very grave and terrible sin, and we're disgusted by it. And, you know, and rightfully so. But if I even think back to my early self, my ignorant self, when I was a young man, at any time that I would have received, our Lord in the Eucharist, not in a state of grace, in an unworthy state, because of my ignorance and stupidity and blindness, St. Paul reminds us that when we eat and drink the blood of the Lord, not in a state of grace, we eat and drink a judgment upon ourselves. That the very thing that we receive that becomes within us, just like a pregnant mother has a child within her, that we do a grave sin to the very thing that is in us. And so if we think back to any time in our life where we may have even received our Lord unworthily in the Eucharist, perhaps we could understand what it's like for somebody to have committed the grave sin of abortion. And just as we desire the mercy of God to be on us, we have to pray that for those people who have committed that sin. And just like we read today in this first reading, this is such an unbelievable and great reminder to us of the importance that there's no darkness in God at all, but sometimes there could be a darkness of sin in us. And it says, if we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we're faithful to God, if we return to him, remember, to receive his mercy, we have to admit that we were wrong in the first place. If we could do that, if we could admit that we were wrong and come back to him and return to him, it doesn't matter how many times that we return back, but we have to truly amend our lives to be better. That when we walk out of that confessional after asking for forgiveness, we have to truly make an effort. Now, of course, I realize some sins are way harder to eradicate than others, you know, sins of addiction, things that really kind of trap us. Sometimes that may require going to confession every week, every 2 weeks, very often to continue to try to eradicate it. But we can't ever forget that when we leave that room, that we really need to make a real effort to amend our lives and to not commit those sins again. These things are all easier said than done, but many of you have overcome great sins in your life and know that it's possible. And generally speaking, you're often the ones that will receive the Lord on a daily basis when you know that it's possible. And the reason I'm here is because I know that it's possible. Because there are things in my life that I used to do that I no longer do, some of them not at all. And that's what we hope for, an eradication of sin in our life, and to ask for the Lord's mercy and to trust in his mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. God bless you all today.